It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if they're special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. I appreciate you. Thank you for your contributions to support the show. And each of you have a purpose. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I get to work with a great team. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And producer Steve, we've had a life-giving, beautiful spring snow.
Yeah, but I'm messed up.
How's that?
Well, I couldn't sleep past 2 a.m. this morning thinking about all the things that didn't get done yesterday. So I'm here at 3:30 this morning and trying to get caught up.
It's 3:30 which time?
Our time, right here and now, 3:30.
So that was actually 2:30 last week time.
Oh, good point, yeah. That's why I'm messed up.
That's why you're messed up, that's for sure.
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm messed up.
There you go. I am thrilled to have in studio with me also Alan Thomas. You know him. He is an author. He's a blogger. He's a millennial. We always bring that up. I don't know why I always have to bring that up, Alan.
Well, I don't mind.
Okay. But you've written, so last week when you were in, or last month when you were in, we were talking about the student loan debt. And you have done an excellent op-ed with some free market solutions to this student loan crisis that we have going on. And that is going to be on my website probably at the end of the week. We're going to highlight it in the newsletter, but you have free market solutions to the student loan crisis.
Well, I'm excited to follow up the conversation from last month with some actual things we can do, not just pontificating about how terrible the situation is.
Great. And we'll talk about that in segments 3 and 4. Alan, you may know that Governor Polis has is an all-out assault on our agricultural businesses here in Colorado. And he has designated March 20th as Meat Out Day. And I think that this week we need to be eating beef and chicken and lamb and pork. And so it is our Eat Beef Week. And we're going to have a couple of people that are involved in the livestock industry calling in the second segment to talk about some of these events that are going on around Colorado.
Well, my father-in-law, his business is meat processing. So we know and understand that business really well. So I am excited to make it a meat in day, for sure.
It is. It's an Eat Beef Week, producer Steve.
Yeah, I've been checking into getting one of those planes to fly over the Capitol on Saturday with the sign that says beef. It's what's for dinner.
That's for sure. Let me know if you get that done, depending on what that budget is.
I am afraid the cost, it might be cost prohibitive.
It may be, okay. But we'll be talking with Justin Humley and Dave Alley here in the second segment. I wanted to go directly to our quote for the day, because today is James Madison's birthday. It's Liberty Day. He would have been 270 years old. And Annie McKeon with Liberty Lives Forever is always making sure that I know about these things. He wants people to read the Constitution. Then he wants people to email or write our legislators, our governor, our president, with what they learned about our Constitution. And James Madison was an American statesman, diplomat, expansionist, philosopher, and founding father who served as the fourth president of the United States from 1809 to 1817. He is hailed as the father of the Constitution for his pivotal role in drafting and promoting the Constitution of the United States and the United States Bill of Rights. He was born in 1751. He died in 1836. And Alan Thomas, I find it so interesting that they needed to get the Constitution ratified, but there was a whole bunch of folks that wanted to make sure there was a Bill of Rights. And Madison assured that if they ratified it, that they would pass the Bill of Rights. And he kept that promise. I find that so interesting because there is not really a politician right now that I really trust.
Yeah, and it's fascinating the argument that they had against the Bill of Rights, that if they enumerated these rights, that we would think we only had the 10 Bill of Rights, right? And it's interesting how now even those are under attack.
Oh, my gosh, those are under attack. So what do you think about this quote? Both of you, I'll ask you. Crisis is the rallying cry of the tyrant. Alan, you first.
He knew progressivism was coming before it even came. That's amazing.
It is amazing. Steve, your thoughts?
Remember Rahm Emanuel?
Never let a good crisis go to waste.
Exactly. And then, following up on that, I've been trying to do a little reading this morning on this World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
They are trying to make their move in the shadow of the COVID-19 virus.
They are making their move. And one of the things I find astounding is that for 2030, they want everyday people to eat less meat. And meat is actually a great source of protein. It's very healthy. And it's like, who put you guys in charge of what people eat and don't eat? Right? Right, Alan?
Well, they build a whole food pyramid, which is flawed from top to bottom. So, right, let's trust the government.
Isn't it comforting that your governor is falling right in line with this?
He is. But then get this. I think that, you know, I always mention he has very good handlers. And from a political standpoint, he's always watching what's going on. So guess what? He's actually going to make a proclamation that March 22nd is Ag Day. So here he's come out and they continue to go after our agricultural industry. And then March 22nd is Ag Day. Seems a little suspicious to me, Steve.
You can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. No, you can't. So, hey, this show comes to you because I have some really great sponsors. And some of them are Hooters Restaurants. And it is March Madness. And I used to love March Madness. I don't even know what's going on with March Madness right now. But I think there's going to be some basketball games. Do you know, Alan?
Oh, yeah. It's all going to be in Indiana, but it's on.
It's on?
I'm excited for that.
Okay. Well, there's some specials over at Hooters Restaurants, March 18th through April 5th. And these dine-in specials are buy 10 boneless wings and a Big Daddy for $14.99, buy 15 boneless wings and a 64-ounce pitcher for $20.99, and that's valid for dine-in. There's some other great specials as well. You can find those if you go to my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And this to-go special, buy 20 wings, get 10 wings free. That's great because you can have friends over. So check out my website. All the sponsors there. Click on the sponsor tab, then Hooters Restaurants and all their specials will be there. Steve, you look pensive like you have a question.
Well, what you just said about the tournament, does that mean you're not really sure what your Jayhawks are doing?
You know what? I don't. How are they doing? I normally am so on it. Do you know?
Ask Alan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
They got seated in decent side of the bracket, so we'll see how far they go.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk, we'll see how they do.
Yeah.
So, okay. and let's see, Jen Hewlin. She's always so creative, owner of Water's Edge Winery. They're going to be serving green wine all month, and just tell Jen to make it Irish. And on the 17th, tomorrow, which is St. Patrick's Day, blues man Jack Hadley will be singing the blues to help celebrate the one-year anniversary of the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. What do you think of that? Their March specials are black and Pacific whiting, lobster bisque, pasta Danielle, strawberry habanero salad, Reuben dip, and you can get more information at wewdenver.com. That sounds pretty good, Alan.
It does. That's why we're wine club members there, too. We love making any excuse to get over there.
You know, I've had so many friends, such great conversations over at Water's Edge Winery. And we've done great events there, salon series, all kinds of great information. And it looks like it's going to be a fun time tomorrow night.
Oh, I wish we could go. We need a babysitter nowadays.
Yes, you do.
A little bit more planning is required to go out.
I know. I remember back when I had kids, I still have kids, but when they were little, it seemed like my whole life was revolved around what a 13-year-old girl down the street wanted to do on the weekend. Our bill of the day. This is really concerning. It's House Bill 21-1161. and they're going to suspend our statewide assessments for select grades because of the COVID-19 thing. You know, our kids are falling behind. If we look at what is happening with our kids and our education on an international level, our kids are falling behind. Other countries are making sure their kids know science and math and literature. And our kids, you look at some of the stuff that they're pushing down regarding sex education and critical race theory, and then you have the whole COVID-19 thing. But basically, it says members of the House Education Committee on Friday gave near unanimous approval for a plan to put off certain statewide standardized tests for select grades, known as the Colorado Measures of Academic Success for 2021. It said the CMAs are slated to begin April 12th, but in order to avoid losing federal funding, the state will have to obtain a waiver to suspend certain tests. Under House Bill 21-1161, there would be no social studies tests for elementary and middle school students in the 2020-21 school year. Testing in science and social studies will be suspended for all required grades. Math tests would be suspended for students enrolled in grades 3, 5, and 7, and given only to students in grades 4, 6, and 8. English language arts tests would not be given for students enrolled in grades 4, 6, and 8, but would be given to students in grades 3, 5, and 7. Parents would have the ability to opt in students for math and language arts tests, but also opt out students for tests in other grades. And this basically, there is one Republican sponsor on this. Otherwise, it's all Democrats. And I'm not sure, Alan, that I'm totally jazzed about all this testing. But the reason was that I think we have this testing is because many times our kids were not up to speed. And so we're trying to figure out what's going on. But this looks like a kind of a blanket message to me that this is almost a wasted year for these kids.
Yeah, it also kind of shows, I don't think they want to show how critical student and parent choice is when choosing education, right? I mean, if they're not able to set a benchmark against charter schools that have been open in person this whole time, you know, why show that? It kind of goes to the overall point of even the regulations that were suspended, the regulations that were always made over the premise of safety or in this case, testing for students. Is it really about that if you're able to suspend it all across the board?
All of a sudden.
Is this really about the students, these standardized tests, if you're able to say, hey, this year we don't need them?
Oh, that is an excellent point. And you know what? Maybe we hit it right at the very beginning. It's a federal funding. And I don't think the federal government should actually be that involved in the education of our kids. I think it should be on the local level.
Well, you look at how much we spend on education. We're number one in the world, I'm pretty sure. And yet, like you said, testing shows our students are nowhere near the top.
And I think you and I agree that we would like to get more money to those great teachers in the classroom. But that doesn't seem to be where a lot of that money goes. And, you know, that's one thing about this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, Alan, is the veil has really been taken off on this, I now call it not progressive, but this regressive agenda that we have been marching towards. And I'm grateful for that. It's pretty daunting when we look at it, but I'm pretty grateful for that.
It really is. And yeah, I mean, you see how much we spend on non-teaching students or non-teaching administrative staff, and it really makes you question, what are they really doing? Even when kids aren't even in school, why are they getting paid and what are they doing? So
yeah, there's a lot of questions. Parents are paying attention. So Alan Thomas, we're going to go to break. When we come back, it is Eat Beef Week, and we want to talk with a couple of different organizers of some events here, because I love the creativity and innovation of our agricultural industry. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kimmunson.com as well. You can contribute to support our independent voice there as well. And I grew up in rural western Kansas, and I love farming and ranching communities. And this governor and this legislature seems like they have an all-out assault on our agricultural industry, which is, gosh, Alan, I think it may be our second largest industry in Colorado, over $7 billion that they put into the economy. It doesn't make much sense to me that the governor would be doing this, Alan.
Well, you have these urban politicians that kind of forget to travel around the state. It's not too surprising based on the Boulder, Denver metropolises that seem to dominate our legislature.
I think that they think that actually everything just appears in the grocery store. And we saw through that initial component of the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus reaction disruption that when people started to see empty shelves, they didn't like that. And one of the guys that makes sure that we don't have empty shelves when it comes to our markets is Justin Hundley. He is the owner of Elizabeth Locker. Justin Hundley, welcome to the show.
Hi there. How are you guys?
We are well. And in response to Governor Polis's Meat Out Day, there's a number of great events going on around the state, and you're organizing one as well, Justin. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we are. We're doing a hashtag Meat In Day in sort of response to what the governor did about the March 20th day. Just having a fundraiser effectively for Elbert County and Douglas County FFA groups, and then just to support local youth agriculture and youth farming and ranching activities throughout Elbert and Douglas counties. So we're doing that over here at the Locker Plant in Elizabeth. We've got the Elbert County Republicans and Elbert and Douglas County farm bureaus are also going to be involved. Elbert County Livestock Association is also going to be involved. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, but that's what we're doing. It's going to be from 12 to 5 on this coming Saturday.
And what is the address there, Justin?
It's 366 Grant Street, and that's Elizabeth, Colorado, 80107.
And so it's a fundraiser. So how much are the tickets?
It's not actually. It's basically going to be a barbecue and donation only, effectively. So we're not accepting money for the actual food itself, except for just donations to support those groups.
Do you need any RSVPs? Because I think that sounds like a wonderful thing to do on Saturday.
Yeah. So. You know, I'm sure that we could. We certainly would. We have no idea. I mean, it looks like the weather's gonna be nice, and that's gonna be a good part as far as how many people we are expecting to show up. We're not 100% sure.
Okay.
It's just kind of a free-for-all at this point.
Well, I love it. And so that's Meet In Day, and that's a fundraiser that will be at the Elizabeth Locker from 12 to 5 at 366 Grant Street, 80107. And Justin, I mentioned I'm from western Kansas. Of course, I'm going to probably date myself. But back in the day, they used to have an FFA sweetheart, and I was the FFA sweetheart my senior year in school.
Well, there you go. I remember those, exactly.
It was back in the old days. So, and Steve, no comments on the age thing, okay? So, Justin Hundley, thank you so much. And, you know, actually, we had just talked briefly that there is a possible ballot initiative that we need to be out in front of, which would really decimate our livestock industry. We don't know for sure what it's going to be, but are they looking at that on this year's ballot or in 2022? Because we need to get out in front of it, because it would really hurt our agricultural industry.
Yeah, you're right. We do. I believe they're going to probably try and use the word pause for this. Protect animal against unnecessary suffering and exploitation is what this one's going to be. I don't remember the actual number. And this is going to put Colorado agriculture at odds with with everything that we do currently today. Effectively, I do believe it's going to put myself and many other local processors out of business. It's a very, very scary initiative that's out there, and unfortunately, I feel that if it gets on the ballot, there's a really good chance that this may pass. With the huge metroplexes like Denver and Boulder, and people there, just like you said, believe that meat just shows up on the counter at the grocery store, and this bill's not going to have anything that's going to be able to affect that, which is completely false. This bill will affect how you get your meat, where you get your meat from. There will no longer be local producers in Colorado that will be able to supply beef, pork, chicken, lambs, all of the above to your local community. It just won't happen anymore.
Right. So we need to be out in front of it. And one of the things I understand about this, Justin, is possibly that they would say that you could not bring your cows to market to slaughter them. Normally it's at 24 months is my understanding, which is kind of that sweet spot. They would say that you could not slaughter your cattle until 60 months. So you go from 2 years to 5 years. That would decimate the complete industry. And so we need to make sure that we're informing people about that, because I think a lot of people like to have great pieces of meat, beef at the grocery store. Alan Thomas, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, another funny part about this ballot is, especially meat processors like Justin's business, they actually create an exemption for larger stores such as Safeway or Costco. They don't penalize them for bringing in slaughtered beef, you know, under that quarter of their lifespan from other states. So they create these exemptions for the big guys and absolutely decimate the small local meat processing.
Okay, Justin Hundley, we're going to be out in front of this. We've got to make sure that we protect our agricultural industry. And thank you again. That's going to be a great event, Meet-In Day at the Elizabeth Locker, 366 Grant. That's Saturday, 12 to 5. Justin Hundley, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a great day. Thanks, Kim.
You bet. And we're going to jump over here now. David Alley is doing something great out in Mesa County. David Alley, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell us about your event.
Well, we're going to have an event this coming Saturday, but it's actually more of a barbecue protest. You know, protest seems to be the big hot topic right now.
Okay.
So we're protesting against, we're going to have a barbecue, but we're also protesting against our idiot governor who has put this stupid thing out for the 20th, and we're trying to get people to wake up and to see exactly what we've got going here and know where we're at and how in the world we can get this stopped, to get, especially in western Colorado. I don't think anybody in the eastern slope thinks that we're even over here. I think they think we're in a time warp or something, because they just don't even think about us at all.
Well, I appreciate you guys immensely. On that whole gray wolf issue, when I actually read the ballot question on it, and it said that they were going to introduce the gray wolves in west of the Continental Divide, I'm like, honestly, I thought, you know, if the people in Boulder want gray wolves, then they need to put them in Boulder. But David Alley, I love this. So you're doing a barbecue protest. Tell us when and where.
Well, the barbecue is going to be this Saturday, and it's going to be from 12 to 2, and we're going to have it in downtown Grand Junction, and I guess that's really about all I can say. It's going to be, like the other gentleman before me, it's going to be a barbecue, but we're not going to charge. It's going to be donations, and hopefully we can donate this to the Republican, the Mesa County Republican Women, because all the great work that they're trying to do here in our county to get the issues out and get people educated on exactly what what's going on in our state and how maybe we can help stop it.
Well, and it is really important that we get out in front of this, because we have taken so much for granted, David Alley, going to the store and having full meat counter. And we've taken it for granted, and we need to make sure that we don't do that. So, again, this is going to be this Saturday. It's a barbecue protest in downtown Grand Junction from 12 to 2. David Alley, that sounds like so much fun. I think it's just great that you guys are doing that.
Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks so much, and good luck on that. And let's jump over here. Jason McBride, Senior VP, Presidential Wealth Management. I bet I know what you're having on Saturday.
If you're guessing some kind of cow product, you're guessing right.
I hope so. Is it not
talking about milk?
Yeah. Is it not astonishing, this assault on our agricultural industry here in Colorado? It's beyond belief, Jason.
Yeah, it seems like the bigger and more profitable the industry is, the more strongly they're assaulting it. So far we've had them basically attack the energy and oil business, which provides many, many jobs
and heat for our homes,
to the farmers and ranchers too.
Yeah, it is astonishing. And then what I found so interesting is now Governor Polis, you can see that he's getting pushback. He's designating March 22nd as Ag Day. But Jason, the other thing about this comes out of the World Economic Forum, their vision for 2030. And it is very frustrating to me that we have all of these big mucky mucks that go to Davos for the World Economic Forum, and they're not standing up for hardworking Americans, the American idea that's made people so successful, and the fact that everyday people can thrive and prosper. And that's your job, Jason McBride, is helping people prepare for their future.
Well, we certainly try to do our best, Kim, and having a good plan or a good blueprint and a really thorough look at your stuff is a real good way to start. If you don't have a plan and you don't know where necessarily you even are right now, and it's even harder to know where your chances are of ending up where you'd like to be. So that's one thing that I feel like I pride myself on, is doing a very thorough, accurate as possible type of blueprint for people for their retirement income, or what I like to call is their paycheck in retirement, which we want to be as dependable as possible.
Well, sounds like a good plan. How can people reach you, Jason McBride?
Best way, Kim, just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show.
We'll be right back with Alan Thomas. We're going to be talking about free market solutions to the student loan crisis, an excellent op-ed that will be on my website this weekend. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Joe, I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. It's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you so much to those of you that are contributing. I appreciate you to keep our independent voice out here and talking about these issues. Another great way that we're on the air is the wonderful sponsors that I get to work with. And one of those is Castlegate Knife and Tool. Knives have been around since the Stone Age, and for good reason. They're functional, durable, and versatile. Knives are an essential part of the all-American toolkit. So whether you're a hunter, an angler, an outdoorsman, a chef, a collector, you definitely need to have that dependable knife and tool in your tool chest. So go to castlegate.com for more information. That's castlegate.com. And just be sure and let them know that you heard about them on the show. In the studio with me is Alan Thomas, and he has written a very important piece. He's an author. He's a millennial, a free market solutions to the student loan crisis. And last month, we talked about just in some ways how we got here, but government has a big footprint on this whole thing, right, Alan?
Absolutely, and it goes to kind of a broader cultural issue of people turning towards government to fix government's problems. You know, we've seen this last year with the coronavirus. All of a sudden, government shuts you down, and you look to the government to say, well, you lost me my job, you need to fix it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Republicans and Democrats have been promising to fix this student loan crisis for decades. And the problem has only gotten worse. So at what point are we able to ask the question, hey, if government's not working, if more government is not working every time you try it, you try and add more government, more regulations, more involvement, when can we take a step backwards? When can we say, hey, let's involve government less, let's try and turn away from government? And unfortunately, I don't think the country is yet at a place where we can ask that question. So the question is then, well, what steps can we make towards freedom? What steps can we make towards a more freer market so that we can show these ideas work, that government isn't the answer? In fact, it's a terrible solution. And we need to quit ripping each other apart, because we don't just get rid of government involvement in student loan debts. We need to be happy, and we need to take every step, however small it is, towards freedom gladly and willingly. And that begins kind of by addressing many of these issues by taking small steps towards a free market. Another big cultural shift we need to make as a country is the ubiquity of a college degree in acquiring jobs. Right now, if you go apply for a job anywhere, even if the degree doesn't really even apply, they still require a college degree. This is really going to require people who are in charge of hiring, small business owners, people in HR, asking, is a college degree really worth it? One perfect example I saw in the airport the other day, college was advertising photography as a degree that you could get. And I know I had the same questionative look that you just gave me. Why do you need a degree in photography? That seems like a skill and something that lends itself very easily towards finding a photographer you like, asking to help them out, asking to get a job for them, and getting very real on-the-job experience. But that's kind of where we're at as a society. We say you need a college degree to pretty much do anything. You need a business degree to start a business. You need a photography degree to start a photography business. And we really need to start questioning that. I saw a crazy stat that over 83% of HR professionals surveyed, I forget what year this was, but over 83% didn't have degrees in HR. But you know that every single one of their applications, they had to have a college degree. And if a job requires that much training, as most jobs do, they require a lot of on-the-job training, why is a college degree even necessary?
I would submit to you, though, it plays into this whole higher indoctrination education thing that we've had. The idea, saying that somebody has to have a college degree to get a job, even though the college degree doesn't really have anything to do with the job, just pushes people into taking on this debt so that they can, quote unquote, get that better job. And it seems like, again, it's all connected. And now Joe Biden is talking about free college. And I find that so interesting. I'm wondering if all the professors are going to be working for free.
They don't like working for free because they've got their unions they've got to pay off too. But it kind of goes towards, isn't that what we said how many decades ago about K through 12? And now, just like we talked about earlier in the show, you know, standardized testing is showing that we're not getting any better, even though we're throwing tons of money at the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the Department of Education is absolutely massive, we're throwing money at the issue and it's not getting any better. So, again, why is government involvement, why is free higher education, college education going to make a difference?
Well, it really isn't. And I would challenge all of you listeners out there to actually do a search on the Saline, Kansas 8th grade graduation exam from 1895. And most people can't answer those questions. So back in the day when they said, oh, my grandmother had an 8th grade education, well, when you look at that, you realize that grandma was pretty darn smart because I think that there's probably some PhDs that couldn't answer many of those questions. But, Alan, it seemed like things really got out of hand because under the Obama administration, that's where I think the federal government really got involved in student loans. It used to be if you were going to get a loan from a bank to go to college, then the bank is going to make sure that it looks like you could pay it off, but not so much now once the federal government got involved.
Yeah, and that even extends even farther back than Obama, all the way back to the 1970s when bankruptcy law was passed regarding student loans. So what happened was government got involved in student loans, and taxpayers, I think we forget to say that too. It's not just government that's involved in student loans. We as the taxpayers are on the hook for that too, because mm-hmm. that's our money that we're lending out to students. So taxpayers and the government did a study on the rate of default and non-payment for students. And even though less than 1% of them used bankruptcy law to clear their student loan debt, it became this massive, oh no, what if that happens more often? We as the taxpayers are going to be on the hook for it. So in the 70s, the government decided to protect itself from bankruptcy of these student loans and basically didn't allow students to discharge their debt through bankruptcy. And so banks have largely gotten out of the student loan business, because why risk that loan when the government is fully protected from it? Banks have essentially said, well, yeah, sure, you go ahead and do it, since you're willing to give a student loan to virtually anybody, when it's actually, you know, FAFSA is based on, can the parents pay for the degree? It's not whether it's going to be a good loan or not. It's how much can your parents actually contribute towards your higher education cost, and we'll cover the difference. That's essentially where the federal government is, because as you and I know, the federal government is too large to be at such a local level to say, you know what, Kim, you're a great student. You've gotten great grades through high school. You show a propensity. You work hard. You study hard. I think you're going to be a good investment. That's something that's done at such a local level that the federal government's too large and unwieldy to even attempt to have that sort of personal knowledge of everyone they give a loan out to, which is what you and I say. That's why a free market is so brilliant, is because it brings things down to a much more individual level, as opposed to just saying, hey, if you want to go to college, you should go to college.
Well, and you could start to see a real problem when you go through the airport. There's almost all of the different universities and colleges in the metro area or up and down the Front Range. Big ads, you know, you come to this college and you're going to be, it basically says, come to this college and you're going to be a big success, right? Isn't
right.
that really what it is? We're on the backs of buses. And I realized that when we have so much advertising along this line, and again, the message, the big message is, come to our college, incur the student loan debt, and you're going to be a big success, right? Isn't that the message?
Well, it's the business of government, right? So few people realize that higher education is most states' third highest budget item, right after a lot of the typical welfare costs. Most states spend the third most amount of their budget on higher education. So, of course, they're going to be advertising it in airports and on billboards. They've got a vested interest in people going to college. That's how they account for so much of their budget. So what can we do? Well, we need to get rid of this ubiquity of college degrees. It's the whole, if everyone is special, then no one is, right? If everyone has a college degree, then what is the uniqueness of a college degree? So we need to have business owners and people that are hiring say, no, you don't actually need a college degree. I can teach you all of this on the job. You need to show this propensity towards ability, right? You need to have exceptional ability. You need to have the ability and the desire to learn on the job. And
okay, you just said a word, desire. The desire to learn. And I think a lot of our kids are being taught that they are owed something versus the desire, the hard work, the determination to learn and to become better. And I think that that is something that is missing in our education system.
Yeah. In large part, what type of education system is it? It's a government-run education system, which, again, kind of drives it towards parents, you need to be in charge. It's your right and responsibility to be in charge of your kid's education. And you need to be an advocate for your child to teach them these things. And it doesn't just stop. Parents can't just check out when they send their kids to school, right? It's one of those, you can't just send your kid to school and say they're going to learn these things. You need to be the one that teaches your kid, your child, these things, because you know, the evidence is there that they're not going to learn it at school.
Well, and to that point, parents really do need to be involved in the education of their children and know what's going on in the classroom. And this is one thing, Alan, that I did not realize was that by the time my youngest got into school, no longer teaching cursive. And I can see terrible penmanship across the spectrum of kids that age. And of course, they say that we have computers all the time. But if, in fact, you cannot write the written word and communicate that at some point, what if the electricity goes off? You need to be able to. And so I had taken that for granted, that he was being taught that. When I finally figured out we had a problem, then we sat down, we started to work on penmanship. I can't say that it got a whole lot better, but at least we started to work on that. So, hey, Alan Thomas, let's go to break. Fascinating conversation here. One thing before you, speaking of writing, as you know, Reggie Carr, founder of I'm a Trumpster, Reggie and Johnny of I'm a Trumpster and I'm a Super PAC. Reggie is dedicated. It's his life's mission now that he has figured out this whole American idea that actually economic and political freedom is what helps people thrive and prosper versus this Democrat mantra of dependency and divisiveness and destruction. And he actually put $100,000 of his own money in to buy this big 45-foot bus that they took into ethnic communities. And he's also a music producer and realizes that in order to reach our youth of all races, that music and videos is a way to do that. Like to partner with President Trump. He'd like to get in front of President Trump. And so I would ask each of you, people say, what can I do? I'd like you to have each of you write Donald Trump a letter and or a note requesting that he meet Reggie so that they can hopefully start to work together. And so you need to send this to Donald Trump, care of Mar-a-Lago Club, 1100 South Ocean Boulevard, Palm Beach, Florida, 33480. We'll have that in our show recap. And after you've sent that note to Trump, email me, and we're going to put your name in a drawing, and we're going to then draw one name that can come in and co-host the show. And Alan, it's pretty fun to come in and co-host the show, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. I'd write several letters then to get several entries into there.
Okay. Go ahead and pad the ballot box there. So again, we would greatly appreciate if you would do that. We're going to go to break. We'll continue our conversation with Alan Thomas about free market solutions. solutions to student loan debt.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is Alan Thomas. He is an author. He's a millennial. He's written a really important piece, Free Market Solutions to the Student Loan Crisis. And with Bernie Biden, or would that be Joe Biden, out there saying that...
Who knows who's running that presidency right now?
Who knows? It's not funny. I don't mean to laugh. Who knows? But Biden is talking about free college. And I didn't know that all the professors and all the administrators are going to be working for free. What is that not great? Well, that's not the case, is it?
Fantastic, yeah. But that kind of goes towards nothing is truly free if somebody has to work for it, right?
Somebody has to pay for it. And what has happened with our kids, they've taken on student loan debt because they've seen that billboard or that bus advertisement that get this degree, you're going to have a great life. I mean, that really is what the message has been. And then kids get out of school and they're like, wait a minute, didn't get that job that's going to pay for all this. It's really been disheartening, hasn't it?
It really is. And it's sad how colleges are able to sell themselves and then kind of drop you off and say, well, never mind.
Good luck.
Yeah. It was, as I was researching this article, you know, you've heard of underwater basket weaving in that class, right? Well, I stumbled across, there's actually a university that offers it as a major.
Seriously?
And they say the possibilities and the income is endless. It's as endless as your imagination. I'm just sitting here going, wait, you're going to go into so much student loan for this career that's so much fun, underwater basket weaving, and you're going to say the income is endless? And it just baffles my mind how they're able to.
It's kind of dumb to actually believe
that.
Yeah, it is.
It's a bait and switch. They're promising something they're not. And in one of the solutions I outlined in the article, risk sharing with higher education, while I'm not totally sold on it, there are a lot of intricacies in many of them. The one thing I think it would do is it would incentivize universities and colleges to actually offer higher quality degrees and higher quality teaching, because that's another central part of this issue is when you offer majors like underwater basket weaving or these just useless majors, and these kids come out and then all of a sudden they're flipping hamburgers at McDonald's, it's really no surprise to me and you as we sit back and say, well, that's a pretty useless degree, gender studies. You know, what are you going to do with that apart from if you don't go back into higher education to teach those same classes, but the teacher is already established. I don't think they're going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a vested interest in keeping that job for several years. It shouldn't come as a surprise that these kids have this massive amount of student loan debt because they've been given really bad advice. And that advice is do what you want, study something that makes you happy. And then you get kids that are studying gender studies and they're happy studying it. And then they kind of meet the real world and get a swift kick in the face and go, wow, this is actually a lot harder to live with this degree and this student loan debt, and it's actually not useful.
Although under the Biden administration, gender studies may be one of those with all the indoctrination that they're doing on that. And again, government is involved in all that. We need to get government out of that. It's easier said than done, but we need to start to take steps towards that. Another solution, thing that you had addressed was licensure and minimum wage. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, minimum wage, the proponents of it say they care so much about people that that minimum wage needs to be a living wage. Well, what it's actually doing is it's hurting people that want to bypass higher education and acquire the skills and become an essential part of the workforce, because no high school age kid is worth, well, there probably are some jobs where they're worth $15. There's some jobs where they're worth $5, mm-hmm. right?
Well, even college degrees as well, same
right.
thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's really up to the person who wants the job and the person offering the job to figure out how much they're actually worth. But that's an essential part, is getting that experience on the job, getting that experience. And for a business owner to take them on and say, you have no experience, you have no skills, I'm going to have to train you from the bottom up, you're only worth X amount of dollars if that's under $15. Well, if it's under $15 and you artificially set the bar at $15, the business owner is going to say, well, I can't hire you because you're not worth it. I have a bottom line that I have to meet, and if I pay you more than what you're worth, well, then I can't actually hire you. So proponents of this $15 minimum wage law, while they say that they're caring, they're actually destroying jobs and they're destroying careers. And honestly, they're not that caring. We are advocates of make a voluntary trade of time and effort for money. And that's more caring than these people that just want to artificially set a wage law at 15. And who chose 15? Why isn't it 20? Why isn't it 25? Like, you know, where does it end?
I call them youth unemployment laws.
Exactly. Yeah.
And to that point is that people should be able to have this free exchange where an employer says, I can pay this for this job. And then people can say, I'll work for that or not. But another problem that we have now is with all this money that is being put into people's bank accounts for not working. That is a big problem. And when you, Bob Woodson said this when he was on the show, when you actually take away income and work, how did he say that? When you no longer have to work to make your income, that becomes a real problem. But somebody has to pay for that. Somebody is working to create something to pay for that.
And in large part, it's the middle class, right? I mean, politicians are great at carving out exemptions for large corporations and businesses, but they're not really good at carving out those exemptions for your local plumber. He gets taxed at just the same rate. Amazon comes in and offers so many jobs, we give them tax exemptions. Not the local guys.
Don't get me started on this. This whole economic development thing is picking winners and losers. And the big guys get breaks on their taxes. The little guys don't. Mm-hmm. And when I was on city council, I always said, hey, if it's good for the big guy not have to pay as much in taxes, it's good for the little guy. Why don't we just lower taxes across the whole spectrum? Yes?
And that's essentially what licensure laws are, too. It's picking winners and losers under this guise of public safety, when most licenses have nothing to do with public safety. You know, the funny example I always give is, why do you have to go to beauty school to learn how to paint nails? And I actually knew somebody who actually did that and actually ended up giving up her dream of painting nails because she was incredibly good at it. She did it all through high school. She was extremely talented, but it cost so much to go through beauty school, even though she already had the talent and the ability, that she decided just to not do it, to forego it, and to continue waitressing. It's just kind of sad that's where we're at, that we would rather have these licenses that have this guise of public safety and require these degrees and require all this learning, even though somebody could get that talent, get that ability, and get that through apprenticeships or through just working for people, and we're essentially destroying careers that way.
We only have a couple of minutes left, but Alan, I've always thought about, so your friend in high school, if she wanted to paint somebody else's nails and she did it just voluntarily, she doesn't have to have her license. So she makes no money. She doesn't have to have a license. But the minute she becomes an entrepreneur, she has to have a license. There's something wrong with that picture. You've got a minute for your last comment on this.
Yeah, and we need to encourage that entrepreneurship, and we're not when we're telling people to do things our way. When you have a top-down approach, that government should dictate everything, you're ruining that spirit and that ability for them to really succeed in life. We've seen entrepreneurship lift people out of poverty more often than not. I mean, all the success stories you hear about involve people picking themselves up by their bootstraps and saying, I have an idea, I have an ability, I have this craftsmanship, I want to do something with it. And we're not doing them any favors by standing in their way, saying you need to jump over hurdle after hurdle after hurdle just to start your own business. You're not kind. You're not caring. If you want big government, if you want to create these barriers to entry, you are part of the problem. You are part of the reason people are staying in poverty. So quit saying that you're doing all this because you care, because all of the evidence points towards we as freedom lovers have the moral high ground because we do care about those who need. We care about those who are in poverty. We have the solutions, and we need to reclaim that moral high ground and say we are the caring ones.
You got it. The dignity, the most compassionate thing I think one man can do for another is to give him a job.
Amen.
Okay. Alan Thomas, it's always great having you in studio. Thank you.
Thanks again for having me.
And this great op-ed will be on my website this weekend, and we'll roll it out in the newsletter as well. So be sure and sign up for that at kimmunson.com. And our quote for today is James Madison. He said, oppressors can tyrannize only when they achieve a standing army, an enslaved press, and a disarmed populace. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. This great unknown, and I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.